Well, I'm excited to be among friends this morning. And usually I'm out and don't know anybody, so now I get to be greeted by all the smiling faces. And everybody kept asking me this morning, where's your rock? Because the first of, back in 2001, now this is how long ago. I see that. Back in 2001, I preached a series of sermons on all the rocks in the Bible. And because, you know, I don't preach here all the time, it took about 2 years, you know, I kept going with it. And I carried me a rock and I put it right there and I threatened anybody that fell asleep. Where's Hans? Anybody that fell asleep? I'm just kidding. I would throw that rock at them. And so now, you know, every time I preach here, everybody says, well, did you bring your rock this morning? Did you bring your rock? But yeah, I got a very soft rock this morning. Okay. Now, this teddy bear's name is Jerry, and I'm going to tell a little story, and you'll understand more about him. I'm going to put him right here, but he is a nice, he's a very nice, soft bear, and he's my security blanket. So if I look panicked, I'll just pet Jerry a little bit. But my family, we went on vacation recently, just a few weeks ago. And we usually spend our vacation time at grandparents, okay? That's how I grew up, and I promise you, the only places I've ever been before I was an adult was between Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and San Antonio, Texas. And if you could stop and see a two-headed snake somewhere along that way, that's exactly what we did. And so that's all I ever got. And my kids already, at 6 and 4, you know, they're tracing that same thing between Atlanta and Baton Rouge. And so, you know, whenever we go, it's always to Momo's house. But, I felt like that Meg being 6 and Jack being 4, it was time for the big vacation. And so we decided to go. We saved up our money. I'm telling you, it took a long time. We saved up our money and we went to Disney World. That's right. We went to Disney World. And I'm telling you what, it was amazing. And I could not resist bringing a few pictures to show you. This is us at Disney World. And we did everything. We saw, we met all the different, we met the fairy godmother. And Meg and Jack got to be prince and princess for the day. And we just thought it was like some stickers that they were giving out. But it turns out it's an actual thing. And everywhere we went, people were giving us candy and balloons. And they were bowing and saying, oh, you know, princess, prince and princess. And see, there are their little stickers, prince and princess for the day. We saw the fireworks every night. We got rained on, I think. You can't go to Disney World without getting rained on at least once. And this is the amazing thing. If you get there early, now I don't know if anybody's ever been there early, but if you get there early before the gates actually open, Mickey and his friends come out and they do a little dance. And I'm telling you what, the crowd just goes crazy. The kids are just screaming and Mickey, 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 you know. And Meg is saying, Daddy, you're embarrassing me. Please stop yelling out Mickey's name. But I'm telling you, something happened on this trip that just reminded me of God's love and God's grace. And that is the story about Barry, my son's bear. Now, Jack has had Barry for several years. His name is actually Douglas, but his nickname is Barry. This is what I've been told. I don't know why. His nickname is Barry. So we call him Barry Bear, Barry Bear. And I mean, he is constantly with Jack. In fact, he has evolved from, you know, a nice looking stuffed animal to this not as nice looking stuffed animal as many of us, you know, have had in the past. Now, has everyone had some kind of stuffed animal, or had a child that had some kind of stuffed animal that just meant more to them than life itself? Because this, I'm telling you, Barry Bear is the one for Jack. And what happened was, you know, I don't want to say I'm cheap, but I like to get all the value I can for my money. And so when they told me on the phone, they had this almost 50% off deal at Disney. And when I saw that on the computer, I said, this is the year. And so we went ahead and we registered and everything. And when they said that the gates of Disney World would open for us at 8 o'clock in the morning, did I wait till that day to go to Disney World? No. We went the night before. We got there the day before. And we didn't stay on the campus there at Disney World that first night. Instead, we stayed at one of those inexpensive I don't want to say cheap, I want to say inexpensive hotels that are just on the periphery of Disney World, maybe about 10 miles out, you know, and the kids were tired and everything. We got there and we just unpacked as much as we needed to. And we said, you know, we're getting up in the morning and we're going to go see Mickey. And sure enough, we did. We got up the next morning. We packed everything up. We went to go see Mickey and the kids. We just went crazy and we had a great time that day. And then we went and checked into our Disney hotel because we wanted to stay there, you know, on the property so we could be so close, you know, to anything and everything. And I mean, we stayed there for a whole week and it was amazing. It was the best vacation we've ever had. The Mamas will no longer be able to, you know, be the best vacation we ever had anymore. But something happened later that evening. You know, of course, the kids are tired and everything, and it's just nighttime, and they stayed up longer than they ever had before. We got to the hotel, and you know, they're still very excited, you know, and you turn on the hotel TV. Is there regular TV in Disney World? No, it's all Disney TV. It's all Mickey TV. So they're, you know, once again, they got their second wind. They're bouncing up and down, watching, you know, these old, and they couldn't believe that there were cartoons that were just in black and white. They said, "What's wrong with the TV, Daddy? How come these cartoons are only in black and white?" And I said, "Well, that's the way they used to make cartoons a long time ago." And they saw Steamboat Willie and all that. You know, and we're unpacking, you know, Mom and Dad are unpacking everything because we're going to be there for a whole week. They get in bed, and Jack says, "Where's Barry?" And we looked in all the suitcases, no Barry. We looked in the bathroom, no Barry. We looked, I went out to the van. Ronette said, "You must have left him in." I must have left him in the van. "You must have left him in the van." Went out to the van with a flashlight, no Barry. Looked under the van, looked under the cars all around, and, you know, Disney security is pretty tight. And, I mean, when they see a guy with a flashlight out in the parking lot, they go right to you, okay? So I'm, like, laying on the ground, flashing my, looking under all, and all of a sudden I flash, and there's these two black shoes, you know, right there in front of me. And I look up, and there's, you know, a Disney security guard, and he says, "Lost Bear." I said, "Yes, sir. Do you have him?" And he says, "No, but you might want to check where you first parked when you checked in this morning." And so I drove back to that place because, you know, where you check in is far away from where you actually stay. I looked all around and the other security guards were all helping me. No Bear. No Bear. So by the time I got back, of course, Jack was asleep. And so, you know, we kind of avoided that night. But about 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, Jack wakes up. Reaching for Barry, no Barry. And the wailing began. "Barry!" He is just crying. He's, you know, his poor little heart is breaking. And, you know, we didn't know what to do. And so we, you know, told him that, you know, Barry was taking a little vacation of his own. You know. And that, you know, I'm sure that we would find Barry, you know, and everything. And so throughout the day, you know, every once in a while, and Jack, he will not forget. OK, he's a smart kid. He will not forget. And every few hours, you know, we're strolling him around in strollers still, you know, and every few hours we'd hear this, you know, from his stroller, we'd hear this, "Barry, Barry." And so that night, you know, while everybody was still, there was a swimming pool there, and it was barely warm enough. Of course, for the kids, they didn't care if it was 40 degrees, but it was barely warm enough. So Ronette took him to the swimming pool. I went to the nearest Walmart, and looking for a Barry Bear, and the closest I could find was Jerry Bear, okay? So I brought back Jerry Bear. I put him on the, you know, bed, so when they came in from swimming, you know, there was Jerry Bear waiting, you know. Of course, Jack, he looks all around. "Where's Barry?" And I said, "Well, Barry sent his cousin, Jerry, to keep you company while you're here at Disney World." You know where Jerry went? Right. He tossed him right across the room. And once again, the wailing began. "I want Barry, Barry, Barry." So it finally occurred to us the second day, maybe we left him at the hotel the first night. So we called up that hotel and we said, you know, "We know that it's been 2 days, but would you please look in the room that we were in?" I think it's like room number 249. And they said, okay, we'll look. And so they kept me on hold, you know, during a whole Dumbo ride. They kept me on hold. And then they came back and said, no, there's no bear. No. And I said, did you talk to the person that cleans the room? Well, she's off today. Why don't you call tomorrow? And so I called the next morning, and I wanted to talk to the lady that cleaned the room. She apparently could not speak to me in English, but apparently she could get out the words, no bear, no bear, you know. And so, you know, I'm talking to her, and every day I called the manager. I said, did anybody turn in a lost bear, a little black bear with brown paws? Now, he has a twin brother at home, okay? Barry has a twin brother at home, Douglas and Benjamin. Meg never, you know, grabbed onto Benjamin. So I knew that if we got home, maybe I could bribe him with Benjamin. But we didn't have Benjamin with us. And so, you know, I kept asking, is there a little black bear with brown paws? A little black bear with brown paws? And the manager assured me that she personally went to that room and checked, no bear. Everybody in the home, I think at one point there was a waitress on the phone with me saying, I am so sorry, sir, we have not found a bear. And others, please stop calling me. And so, you know, we kept telling Jack, you know, that Barry, you know, Barry has decided to live at Disney World with Mickey, and that he was going to have to be happy with Benjamin. We asked Meg, can Jack have Benjamin when he goes home? Yes, he can have Benjamin. And, you know, of course, Jerry over in the corner under some, you know, dirty clothes, he, you know, the poor forgotten bear, the unloved older brother, perhaps. It reminded me so much of what was happening in Luke chapter 15 that, you know, when I had that, I said, the next time I get to preach, that I am going to preach this sermon, Luke chapter 15. And that's where we're this morning. Now, it's a long chapter, so I may paraphrase a little bit, and I apologize for that, but we have the scriptures up here. Oh, and my kids again. So, hey, I put the PowerPoint together, and I use my pictures. So there you go. Now, here's the situation. All the tax collectors, you know, and the sinners and everything were getting together because they loved to hear Jesus' stories. He was like a big entertainer for them, you know, and they just loved to hear it. And lives were being changed because of the way that they would receive, you know, God in His stories. But of course, the Pharisees, you know, were always in the background. That Pharisees, deacon, oh, no, I didn't say that. Pharisees were always in the background. The big religious leaders were always in the background being critical. And they were always saying things like, I can't believe that he is going to sit down with tax collectors and sinners, you know, and tell all these stories. Well, Jesus knew exactly what was going on. He knew what was going on in their minds. He knew their hearts, you know. And he says, look, I'm going to tell you a little story. And he brought all these people together because they knew about money. Now, let me tell you something. The Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees, they knew about money. Okay. They knew how to put it together. They were rich people. If you look in other parts of the New Testament, you know, they were tithing, you know, 30% and bringing gold and silver and wearing little danglies on their, you know, robes with silver bells when they walked. They were rich. They knew about money. So Jesus told them three stories, you know, one right after another, and about value, about the value of something. And he started off with a story of the lost sheep. And he said, which one of you wouldn't go after a sheep, a little lamb, and leave the 99 behind to go and search for that sheep? And, you know, of course, being money oriented, they're like, heck yeah, yeah, I'm going after that lamb. Which one among you would not do that and find that lamb and celebrate when he comes back? And then he went on and he said, which one, when an old lady who only has 10 coins loses one, what is she going to do? She's going to sweep out that house. She's going to look through everything until she finds that coin. You know what? We had just been doing that same thing, looking for poor old Barry Bear. You know, and so the last one, of course, he told was the parable of the lost son. And he goes, once upon a time, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger one, The younger one came to him and said, "You know what? I'm tired of farming. I'm tired of these sheep. I'm tired of these goats. I want my money now. And I'm going to make myself a life out there." And you know, and the father, now, you know what my father would have done? I'd have seen the back of his hand, possibly more than once. Bam, bam. Okay, two different hands. But if I, as a young man, would have gone to him and said, "Give me half of everything because I want to go now," you know, I'd have gotten a different response. But this father, this loving father, he decided to go ahead and do it. So he gave his son half of everything. And what did the son do? He went out and he squandered it all on riotous living. Now I'm not here to interpret what riotous living was back 2,000 years ago, but I can imagine that, you know, it was not Disney World. Okay? I'm sure that, you know, he squandered his money on, you know, wine, women, and song, and anything else that he could get a hold of. But soon, the money ran out. The money ran out, and there was a famine in that country. And so he didn't even have enough to eat. And all of his friends, you know, when you're rich, you got a lot of friends. All of his friends that had, you know, been around him spending all his money and everything, where did they go? Gone. They were gone. But he was stuck there with nothing to eat, and he finally had to get a job at a pig farm. Now, I don't think that we can fully appreciate what it is for a Jewish boy to have to get a job at a pig farm. Okay? The Jews don't eat pigs. They don't touch pigs. They don't, you know, there's no pigs at any Jewish farm. Okay? Because they consider them unclean animals. Unclean. And here's a nice Jewish boy, down on his luck, down and out. He has to get a job at a pig farm. And still, the pigs are eating better than he is. He's looking at those seed pods and he's saying, "Man, that pig food sure looks good." You know, he even asked for some. "No, you can't have any." And he says to himself, he comes to himself. That's what the Bible says. He comes to himself. He came to his senses and he says to himself, "Even if I was back home, the slaves for my father get better treatment than this. The slaves, the hired men, get better treatment than this. I'm going to pack up my stuff." Now, he's been working with pigs. He's lost all his money. I can imagine that he's pretty dirty by now and smelly and probably unrecognizable. But he says he's going to pack up his stuff, what little he may have, and he's going to go back to his father and ask to just be a hired hand. Not to be a son anymore. Just be a hired hand so that he can survive. And that's what he does. He packs up what little stuff he does. He goes back. And it turns out that his dad, this whole time, has been kind of keeping vigil. And just in my imagination, you know, the dad, you know, walks out to the back 40. The sun is going down. And he, you know, and he's looking for a shadow on the horizon every day. And it doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. But the father keeps doing it. Keeps doing it. Keeps doing it. And then finally one day, he sees his son on the horizon. He sees his son on the horizon. And instead of, you know, turning around, turning his back, how many of us, if we had a son that had totally disappointed us, gone completely opposite from the way that we would have gone, how many of us would have just turned our backs? But this father was not like that. This father wasn't like that. He loved his son so much that when he saw his son, he ran out to meet his son. He hugged him, you know, with all that pig grime and smell and everything. And the son said, "Daddy, I'm not worthy to be your son. Daddy, I'm not worthy to be your son. But if you would take me on as a hired hand, I'd appreciate it." And what does the father say? The father says, "You're not a hired hand. You're my son." He tells all the servants, he says, "Get me a cloak. Get me a ring. Kill me a fatted calf. Because we're going to celebrate tonight. My son who was lost is now found. Who was dead is now alive again." And that's what they did. They had a big, big celebration. If you look closely, you know, after the lost sheep, When the guy came back, he had a celebration. And after the lost coin, when the lady found it, she invited all her friends over. They had a celebration. And Jesus was trying to tell them about the value of things and the value of people. Because back then, people were not valued very much. People were not valued very much. And if you made a mistake, that was it. No forgiveness. No, you know, reunions. If you made a mistake, that was all she wrote. But Jesus wanted him to understand that a boy, a person, a relationship was worth a lot more than a coin. It was worth a lot more than a sheep. Which, you know, being money men, they immediately said, sure, we'd do that. We'd leave the 99 and go for that sheep. We'd sweep out the house and look for that coin. But they had to think for a minute before they'd hug that son who was covered in grime. But Jesus was showing them how God is and how God wants to welcome us back in. Well, let me just get back to Barry for 1 second. We go the whole week long. Jack is just weeping every night for Barry. And we spent the whole time, you know, at Disney World having fun during the day and dreading every night before we went to bed. And finally, it was time to go home. We got in the car. We're driving back. And I, you know, and I'm not thinking about the kids or listening to, you know, some Mickey Mouse stuff they got on the there at Disney World. And everybody seems pretty happy. And then kind of out of the corner of my eye, I see the sign from that same hotel that we stayed in. Now, has anybody ever been to Florida? Those highways are big. I am like on the 6th lane, the left-hand lane. And I said to myself, self, this is your last chance. And I whipped that thing over and went across all the way over, just like on TV, you know. And I went right all the way over, went down the aisle. You know, Ronette is just gripped on. She doesn't know what's going on, you know. The kids, they're like, yeah, yeah, more rides, yeah. I whip over there, and I go down the exit, and I drive right in to that hotel. And I said, this is my last chance. And I jumped out, car's still running, the kids don't know what's going on. I go into that hotel, and now it's a Saturday afternoon, which is like the least amount of people ever, you know, in one of these kind of hotels. And there's one single young lady behind the desk doing her nails. Extremely long nails. She doesn't even look up. When I come in, she does not even look up. This is what she is doing. And I walk up to the desk. I'm trying to be very polite. I walk up to the desk and I stand there. And this is what she does. And I said, excuse me. I said, I was here about a week ago and we lost a bear. Is it possible for me to get a key to room 249 to check and see if that bear is in there? That's against the rules. We don't have a security guard to take you. So I'm afraid I can't let you do that. She has not looked at me once. Okay. And I leaned very close. I said, you don't understand. I said, this is my son's lost bear. He has cried for 7 nights over this bear. I have to check that room, if only for my own sanity, for that bear. And she switches to the other hand. Well, I guess so. And she very carefully, you know, she got wet nails, very carefully, you know, makes one of the keys. She hands it to me. She's not ever made eye contact with me. Hands it to me. You know, this precious key. I've got it in my hand now, you know. I'm kind of wild-eyed, you know. I'm running up to room, you know, 249. And I put the key in. I walk into the room. Of course, it's been completely cleaned, you know. And we had heard Jack in some of his crying escapades. Now, he could not talk about Barry without crying the whole week long. But I'd heard him talk, and I'd heard him say, Barry, Barry, why did you want to sleep there? Why did you want to sleep there? And I said, Barry is sleeping somewhere in that room. So I go into the room, you know, I don't see a thing. You know, the beds are made, everything is fine. You know, I think, where would a bear be sleeping in this room? And I carefully go over to the telephone table, and I kind of close my eyes, and I pull out the telephone table and look inside. And there is Barry. The one place that the maid would never look, the telephone table, there's Barry sleeping. And oh, I picked up that bear and I hugged that bear. And I celebrated. And I knew about the lost sheep, and I knew about that lost coin, and I knew about that lost son because of Barry Bear. And I mean, I was dancing, you know, the river of God. Well, let me tell you, the bear of God will set your feet to dancing too. I'm dancing down the hall. I get back down. I give the card back to the lady and I said, thank you so much. This is Barry the Bear that we've been looking for all week long. And I called everybody in this hotel and I told her the whole story. And I told her and I said, this is just like the lost sheep in the Bible. And she stops. And she looks at me and she said, that's what my pastor preached on last Sunday. She said, you tell your son, I hope he loves his bear as much as you love him. And I said, he does. He loves that bear. And I love that bear. And I'm hugging the bear. And I'm going outside and I'm hiding the bear. And I opened the door. And I said, guess who's back? And I held up Barry. And once again, the whole, not just Jack, the whole band erupts in celebration. Ronette is just, yay! And Jack is just crying and hugging that bear. And Meg is just, you know, Barry, Barry, Barry. And we knew about God's grace. We knew about God's grace. Now we say we know about God's grace all the time in our heads. But once in a while we know about God's grace in our hearts. And for me, this was one of those moments that I wanted to share. You know, God is the Father. And He is looking for you. He is looking for me to return home so that He can celebrate no matter what we've been through, no matter where we've been, if we've been sleeping in a drawer or carousing, He wants us back. And He wants to bring out that robe and He wants to hug us no matter how we smell. He wants to put on that ring and say, kill the fatted calf because my child who was lost is now found. And Barry, he was lost, is now found. Let me tell you, I took this picture of Jack the next night. And there you can see Barry Bear in his rightful place, snuggled in his daddy's arms. And that's where we need to be. But where are you? Are you snuggled in daddy's arms? Or are you somewhere else? Because he desperately, desperately wants you back. Don't be lost anymore. Come home. We can all celebrate together.